Hello everyone and welcome. This is Laurita and I'm glad to welcome you on the first personal development podcast with a French touch. Today, first episode, I am so excited to interview my master, Michael. He is 4 times jump rope world champion and will unveil all the secrets to become a good jumper. So hi Michael, thank you so much for your time today. I'm so glad that we found a date to record this podcast. Could you please introduce yourself, tell us who you are, what you do, etc., etc.?
Sure, and thanks again for having me on. My name is Michael Fry. I am a professional jump roper. I've been jumping for about 24 years now. So I started when I was 10 years old. And I actually saw a performance at my elementary school, and I saw a jump rope team sort of showing off all the amazing skills that they could do. And I saw this one guy do a backflip with the rope.
Wow.
And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And it inspired me to audition for the team. And I somehow made it through because I wasn't very coordinated. I was really awkward when I first started and couldn't do any of the moves. But I just stuck with it because it was just so much fun. And just really enjoyed the process of learning something new and sort of being a beginner at something. And you know, I stuck with it through elementary school and high school and college. And as I got older, I had some opportunities to compete internationally. You know, as a younger jumper, we would do local competitions and at the state level and even national level. But I think it was when I was in maybe ninth grade, I had the chance to go to South Korea for my first world championship. And I actually came in last place or close to last place. And I was a little disheartened, but I decided I was going to go back and try again for the next one. So I went with a team of jumpers in 2002, and that was when I won, or we as a group, we won our first world championship. So
wow.
We competed in about 8 events in total, and some events we got first, others we got second, I think maybe one we got third in, and then they gave the average. And so overall, we were the top team.
Wow.
So that was a lot of fun, and that was 2002. And then a couple years later in 2004, I went as an individual jumper again to try again and see if I could do better than I did the first time. And so this time I ended up getting first place for my freestyle routine and for the 3-minute speed event. And then overall, I was the second place jumper, but I had those 2 events that were the first.
Congrats.
Thank you.
And weird question though, but how does it work when you compete as a team?
Yeah, so when you compete as a team, there are different events that you compete alongside other people. So, for example, you know, 4 of the events are double dutch, which is where 2 people will be sharing 2 ropes and you have somebody jumping inside the rope. So we had an event where, you know, we had 2 turners and myself, and we would each kind of jump in the ropes and do some tricks. So maybe I would go in and do like a handstand and a push-up and a flip. And then I would switch and, you know, one of my partners would get in and she would do, you know, a back handspring and things like that. And then we had single rope events, but it was like each of us had our own individual rope and we would be doing like a synchronized routine.
Oh, wow.
So if I do a cross, my partner does a cross at the same time. And then if I do a handstand, she does a handstand at the same time. And they kind of evaluate you, you know, similar to a gymnastics competition.
Okay. Okay. So they are judges, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a panel of judges and they're always, it's very scary and intimidating because they're just sitting there in front of this table without smiling on their face, just looking at you and expecting you
to like the voice.
Yeah. They're just expecting you just perform for us and do, you know, perfect. Don't be nervous. So we go out and the judges will score you. Half of the judges are looking at how difficult your skills are and the other half are sort of looking at how well do you perform them? Do you have the best technique? Are you having mistakes? Things like that.
Well, that's interesting. And do you have mandatory moves to do?
That's a really good question. There are some moves that you are sort of expected to do, although you don't have to do them. So, like for example, one of the categories they look at. Let's say you're doing a partner routine and it's me and my partner jumping. They want you to do certain skills that are, we call them like strength skills. So it could be doing a handstand with the rope, a push up. It could be doing like some kind of gymnastics move and you don't have to do each move specifically, but they're looking for some type of move that shows your strength, you know, and another example might be another category is called the multiple unders. So they're expecting some skills that show that you can do a double under where the rope goes around your body 2 times per jump or a triple under. And again, you don't have to do like an exact skill, but they want you to show some skill that shows you can do a double or a triple under.
Yeah, okay, I get that. And if you could train someone every day, every single day, how long would it take for him or her to become a pro, according to you?
That's a tough one to answer, because I think, you know, everyone learns differently and learns at their own speed. And we all come into learning, you know, something new with our your unique body and your approach to learning and things. So like me, for example, you know, I mentioned at the beginning, I really was very awkward and uncoordinated at first. And I struggled a lot with the skills. And there were jumpers actually who joined a year or two after me, and they ended up passing me up. And you know, that can be a little discouraging, but you keep working. And I would say, you know, so for me, it took me, I think it took about 6 years to go to the world championship and win. But a lot of that beforehand was going to the state championship or the national and getting a lot of like last place, or, you know, 20th place or things like that. So I would say, like, if I start working with somebody new and I can train with them, you know, two or three times a week, I think if we train really hard and with the right training program, and they are also giving, you know, maximum effort and they really want to do well, I think we could get them to a really high level within a couple of years. But it's so competitive now, especially at the world level. It's just so competitive.
Oh yeah, I guess so. And so you said two or three times a week. So what is your current routine?
So it's a little bit different now. Now that I have a kid, you know, I'm a dad. A partner, and I have a son who's about 14 months old. So,
congrats!
Thank you. It totally changes everything. So, you know, for example, I definitely don't have the same amount of time that I do to jump, but we just have to be a little bit creative and, like, you know, maybe I can jump while he's napping, or in the morning I was doing some morning sessions where I would jump before he wakes up, or later at night. And then usually, you know, cause I'm a stay at home dad, so I'm watching him throughout the week, as my partner is working. And then on the weekends, she'll kind of take over. And that's when, you know, Saturday and Sunday, that's when I'm teaching most of my lessons, doing most of my training and working on new skills. So I think now I'm jumping 4 times a week, I think. So not every day, but about 4 times.
And for how long?
So it's usually between, the minimum would be maybe an hour and then up to like 3 or 4 hours.
Straight?
Yes, I'll say yes and no, because, you know, I'll work on, let's say I'm working on a new trick or a new combination, you know, I'll try it and maybe I get it right away, or if I don't, I'll try it several times and then I'll take a break, you know, for water, or maybe I'm trying to record it. So I'll check and see how did that look on the film, or if I'm teaching a class, actually, that wouldn't be like 3 or 4 hours of straight jumping, because, you know, when I'm teaching, I'll kind of demonstrate.
Yeah,
you know, explain how it's done, and then I'll watch them and give advice.
Okay, yeah, because 4 hours straight seems a lot to me. And so you mentioned that you're a teacher right
that
now.
That would be a lot.
Mm-hmm. In LA, right?
Yes.
And do you by any chance teach online for, you know, French people?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And, you know, actually with the pandemic and everything, I was teaching a little bit online beforehand, but not very much. And then when the pandemic happened, all of my classes, because most of what I do is after school programs, I'm working with kids, usually from like age 6 or 7 up to maybe 13 or 14. All of my classes were just canceled immediately, because, you know, schools weren't open. So I went from having all this work to having almost no work. So I had to transition into doing more online stuff. And that's been really, really cool, because I've gotten to work with some people all over the world, all over, you know, different countries. So mainly my focus now is on those online programs. So yeah, if there's anyone who's interested in taking, I do group lessons and also private lessons, I definitely love to teach. So.
Well, that's very good to know, and I might be the next student. And no worries, I'm going to share your information just in case people want to become, you know, World Cup champion. And what is your daily foodie routine?
I think I should probably be more careful or more responsible with how I'm eating, because that's one area I don't think I focus too much on. But I think generally I do try to eat pretty healthy. You know, we eat a lot of chicken and lean meat and fish, a lot of fruits and vegetables, rice and things like that. I almost never eat fast food or junk food. Yeah, that's just, at least lately as an adult, that hasn't really appealed to me. I don't really do soda or anything, but I know even though I am eating healthy, I know that if I were preparing for a world championship or going to one, I probably should be a little bit more, just more specific and more focused on exactly what I eat.
Yeah, I can understand that. Sometimes you have so much thing to focus on. So another question for you would be, what type of advice would you give to someone? Because I know that jumping rope can be a bit traumatic for the knees, for the back as well. How do you suggest that we start?
Yeah, I always recommend people start, really start with the basics. Right now there's jump rope is really kind of experiencing this big boom, especially on Instagram. And there's people all over the world jumping. And I think it can be difficult if you're coming into jump rope and you see all of these people. And they're saying, I've only been jumping for 3 months, but they're doing these amazing tricks and really difficult tricks. And it can be easy to think, well, why can't I do that already? Or maybe I should be pushing to do that stuff. But I always encourage people to really just take your time, focus on the basics, make sure you can do even just the basic jump. Can you do that? I usually say people should be able to do 100 jumps before they even start trying tricks. Can you do 100 jumps first? Can you do basic things like footwork skills? And that's just doing, things like putting your feet apart together, or jumping on one foot or switching feet. I'm calling them simple, basic tricks, but they can be really challenging to learn. Things like side swings can be really good. That's where you just put your hands together and swing the rope from left to right on the side of your body. And that can be good. Yeah. It's a good technique, and it's also a good way of having like an active rest. Because I think if you go into it and you just are just trying to jump so much, you can get really tired too soon. And then maybe the next day you can't even jump because you've done too much. So I think if you want to, again, if you're just starting out, if you want a way to kind of keep doing it, but make it a little bit more easy on your body, you can do those side swings to give, you were talking about joints, give your joints a rest and just kind of recover a little bit. So I think the main advice is really just take it slow, take your time, work on those basic fundamentals. There's a lot of really cool and exciting tricks that you can learn to do, but just kind of don't rush through the process and just take it really slow.
Yeah, listen to your body. And are your classes also for beginners? Because I know your level, and to be honest, I don't dare taking classes with you.
Yeah, and actually, this is completely true. I prefer teaching beginners. Actually, I've been able, I know I can do these more advanced skills, but I love teaching beginners because they, when you come in as a beginner, it's like you haven't learned any technique, good or bad.
Yeah. And you're fresh.
Yeah. You're fresh. And, I see people who have started learning stuff and it's almost like they have a bad technique that is really going to come back and hurt them because of maybe how they're landing. I see these newer jumpers and they're doing jumps where they're jumping like 5 feet, in the air. And they come down and it looks like their knees are going to hurt because they're jumping on concrete.
Yeah.
That's actually one other thing I wanted to mention too. You were talking about, how to get started as a beginner. I think a big thing is making sure you have supportive shoes. I prefer kind of like cross trainer shoes, but you can also use running shoes. Find the shoe that works best with your foot. Make sure it has good arch support, good padding in there. And then also make sure you're jumping on a supportive surface. So whether that's...
not too hard, right?
Yeah, not too hard. Jump ropers always love jumping on like kind of a wooden basketball floor because it's flat, so the rope won't catch, but it also gives you a little bit of support and bounce. So if it's possible to find that, that's good. You can also find like rubber mats. There's a great company called buyjumpropes.net, and they have a rubber mat that you can use for jumping. Just anything to give a little bit more support rather than jumping on concrete or the street.
Yeah, I get that. And last question, what kind of rope do you recommend? Because I know that homemade ropes are not the best, correct?
Yeah, I always recommend using a beaded jump rope. And a lot of people will look at it and say, like, it looks such like a basic rope, or I used to use this rope, on the playground when I was a kid. But those ropes are actually the best because Number one, they're really durable. So if you're using them on any kind of surface, the beads, they're made of plastic and they last a long time. Even if one of the beads maybe falls off, you know, you have 100 beads on your rope, so they can kind of take the place of the beads that fell off. And it keeps its shape really well. I see a lot of people using the wire ropes or the plastic licorice ropes, and those can kind of tangle a lot easier. I think the beaded rope also has a nice weight to it. So as you're turning it, you get a nice feedback. If the rope is too light, you can't really feel what it's doing. So those are some of the reasons I'd recommend beaded. And even to this day, I still use that beaded rope.
Okay. And I mean, if you use it, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so very much, Michael. It was very inspiring, interesting. And, you know, I told you that I've been following you for a long time right now, and I'm ready to take the next class.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It was indeed. Talk soon.
Okay.